This earth, for now, is our home. We're on a chunk of rock hurtling through space and rotating and revolving. It's doing all kinds of crazy things. Makes you think we need earth belts. Well, sometimes people do need earth belts, because what does God use to make people not so comfortable on the earth? Well, I'll give you a clue. He quakes the earth. Yes, God uses earthquakes. I'm going to show you three major earthquakes in the scriptures. And I'm going to show you how the earthquakes work to the disadvantage of the world, but they work to our advantage. Yes, we see it practically. We see it spiritually. I'll tell you this for one thing. You cannot grab on to this earth as your home. You will be disappointed. This earth seems so solid. I mean, it's hard to believe that it's in motion. We just stand on this planet. We call it what? Terra firma. Sometimes not so firma. The people that went on the Titanic, they said the one thing about it was this was the unsinkable ship. And it felt so sturdy. And in fact, after the iceberg had struck the Titanic, many people did not want to get on the lifeboats, because even when fatally injured, the Titanic seemed safer than those rickety lifeboats being lowered down the side of the Titanic 7 stories down to the ocean. Yes, I can imagine it would. It's a false sense of security. And this earth on it is a false sense of security. And you know, this is my teaching, not just for the earth, but for your relationships, for your family, for your job, for your aspirations. You hold on to everything loosely. But this is so immediately illustrated by the earthquake. On a personal note, I have been in some natural disasters. I was in a wildfire. I mean, a serious wildfire in Colorado Springs in, I think it was 2013, was called the Waldo Canyon Fire. And I mean, I had to evacuate. They were spraying the hill next to my apartment. And 212 houses were destroyed. Look it up, Waldo Canyon Fire. I was in it. I mean, I was in it. The smoke was in my nose. And I had to evacuate and get away from it. 20-something people died, maybe more. I don't know. I was in a tornado in Birmingham, Alabama. I think that was 2013. No, it was not in Birmingham either. It was in Bessemer, Alabama. And it went right down the street. I videotaped the beginning of that thing. It was 10 o'clock at night, so I couldn't see it, but it tore a roof off of a house like 5 houses down from where I was. I've been in a hurricane. You know that? Last year, I was here. I sat in the middle of Hurricane Irma, that we were mercifully dodged. It went over to Naples. It was supposed to hit here. Some people evacuated from here to Naples. Then the hurricane had the rudeness and the audacity to fool the prognosticators, and it made a turn south, went over to Naples. Then the people who had evacuated to Naples had to unevacuate back to Fort Lauderdale. Or if people were smart, they went to the hell out of Florida. All right. You remember I was telling you about the eclipse on Friday? I was telling you about the eclipse, the great eclipse of 2017. Well, and I told you there's another great eclipse coming. And that eclipse is coming on April 8th, 2024, 7 years apart. I'm going to show you a picture of these two eclipses, solar total eclipses. That go, the only ones that have gone, you know, completely across the United States. I think this is significant because, as we spoke on Friday, God doesn't mess around with these things. And the timing is just pretty remarkable, seeing as how, as I told you, the year 2028 was arrived at by F.H. Bader. It was arrived at by Ernest Martin. and it was arrived at by another source. I can't think of it now, but all individual people counting the years from Adam. This was done before there was any knowledge of the alignment, the celestial alignment of September 23rd. This was done before anybody had given any thought to these eclipses, even though, of course, astronomers can predict eclipses. But look at this. I'm showing you a map on the car cam. You won't be able to see it if you're listening to the audio only, obviously. But this was the eclipse of 2017. It went from the northeast to the southwest. This is the eclipse that's coming. It is going from the northeast to the southwest. It is coming on April the 8th, 2024. I want you to look at where those two eclipses intersect in the middle of the country. That just isn't any middle of the country. They intersect precisely at the New Madrid fault line, which is one of the major earthquake areas in the United States. No, not California. It's the confluence of the states of Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Indiana, Tennessee, right where the Mississippi River, in between really St. Louis and Memphis. The largest earthquakes in North America occurred in 1811 and 1812. I'm going to link you to a video underneath here. The name of this video has a very sexy title. It's called "The New Madrid Fault Could Reawaken at Any Time." Isn't that catchy? And this thing is loaded. This thing is cocked. All right? And it like blew like three... They didn't have the Richter scale. They didn't have a way to measure earthquakes back in 1811 and 1812 when this area of the Mississippi River Valley was rocked with three. They're estimating them at over 8 points on the Richter scale based on eyewitness reports and other such phenomenon. This thing was nuts. I'm going to link it to this video. I'm going to show you a map now on the car cam of the New Madrid fault zone, and this zone is transposed with the two eclipse paths, the two paths of the two eclipses that are 7 years apart, that actually, look at this, that actually the second eclipse comes in the middle of the last 7 years, according to the 6,000-year, 7,000-year, 8,000-year plan set forth by Bader and Ernest Martin and others. The date of that earthquake, the date of the eclipse, that was a Freudian slip. No, it wasn't even a Freudian slip. I actually think something's going to happen. Kind of like an earthquake. April 8th, 2024, this eclipse will come again 7 years exactly after the eclipse of August 2017, and they will intersect at the New Madrid fault area. Now, we know that I don't think that's a coincidence. Jesus Christ said there would be earthquakes in diverse places. Well, that's a different place to have an earthquake. It's not on the Pacific Rim, the so-called Ring of Fire, where most earthquakes occur. And geologists, if you watch this video, they can't explain why this one is here in the middle of a plate. It's in the middle of a plate. Usually you find earthquakes where the continental plates intersect, where they ride on top of one another. But here it's in the middle of the plate. It shouldn't be there, and yet it is. And these people in 1811 and 1812 thought the world was coming to an end. Well, this world... this system will come to an end, and it will be by earthquake, as I'm going to read to you from the scriptures now. But first, I'm going to read of the great quake in Matthew 27. And Jesus is on the cross. Matthew 27:50. Now Jesus, again crying with a loud voice, lets out the spirit, and lo, the curtain of the temple is rent into from above to the bottom. This is one of the most important events in the history of Israel and in the history of the body of Christ, and in the history of any kind of well message, any kind of evangel going to the nations, is the elimination of the temple system. This is when it happened. But listen to this. And we don't talk about this enough. And the earth quaked. And the rocks are rent. And the tombs were open. And many bodies of the reposing saints were roused. And coming out of the tomb, out of their tombs after his rousing, they entered into the holy city and are disclosed to many. Go into the door. All right. Who is it? It's Aunt Harriet. Well, it can't be. Aunt Harriet died 15 years ago. I'm telling you, it's Aunt Harriet. Can you imagine? People came out of their tombs because of the quake. So the quake caused great fear. Let me read what the centurion had to say about this. The centurion and those with them who were keeping Jesus, as little sons of bitches were, you know, making sure he died on the cross. That's what is meant by keeping Jesus. Bastards. How can people do that? How can people put other people, nail other people to crosses, to stakes? I don't understand what the hell goes through your mind. Even if you think they're criminals, like, how could you take that job? When they give you the job description, okay, I'm a Roman centurion, what do I have to do? Well, you know, you gotta clean up, sweep up the barracks. Okay, I can do that. You know, you have to bring the Pontius Pilate grapes on the first Thursday of every month. That's your schedule, everybody else. Okay. Oh, yeah, and then you have to nail human beings to wooden poles every once in a while. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that too, yeah. You gotta be crazy, you gotta be kidding me. The centurion keeping Jesus, perceiving the quake and the occurrences, were tremendously afraid, saying, truly, this was God's son. Truly, this was God's son. So the earthquake, what I'm telling you, is it caused fear, tremendous fear, to the people who are not acquainted with God. Listen, when I was in that tornado in Bessemer, Alabama, I didn't care. I really wanted to see it. I wanted to be a part of it because I love violent weather. But the preliminaries of that thing, the thunder and lightning, was incredible, and the wind. And listen, it was so scary, but it's so nice to know. You know what was nice to know? It's nice to know that I am friends with God, and God is friends with me. And I know the powerful creator. I know the one who is sending this thunder and lightning and the tornado and the whirlwind. I know him. Didn't Job speak to him out of the whirlwind? Somebody speaks to him out of the whirlwind. I don't know. Saints, men and women of God, are not afraid of whirlwinds or hurricanes or tornadoes or wildfires. They know that God is in control of all of these things. And I felt a calm and a peace. And I knew that this Bessemer tornado was just a small taste of the indignation that will be coming on this earth from God during the tribulation, in the form of earthquakes, in the form of hail, in the form of blood, in the form of locusts, in the form of supernatural horsemen that kill a third of humanity. God is in charge of all these things. And when you know this, and you know you're his child, you're his son, you're his daughter, then you have no fear. You shouldn't have any fear, really. I know there's some, it has to do with you're going to miss the old place, you're going to miss your life here and everything, but every once in a while God shakes the earth. Why does he do that? It's significant. He does it to wake people up, to say, this little home of yours isn't so stable after all. There they are on the Titanic. God himself can't sink this ship, and all it takes is an iceberg. Yeah, all it takes is an iceberg. So, the same quake that caused the centurion to pee his pants opened the tombs and sent people out of their tombs. It was a miracle that corresponded with the death of Christ. You see, God always sows in some mercy into these terrible things. Jesus Christ dies our ultimate disaster, but when he dies, the temple veil rents in two, which means God is now opening up, going to open up to the nations now, shutting down the Israel system for now, going to open up to the nations. And all those ands, and the earth opens up. Oh, that's scary. Yeah, but, and some of those who were reposing came out of the tombs. Reposing saints were roused. Saints. These were people who had believed either in Jesus, and they didn't have much time to believe in Jesus. They probably just, they believed in the message of Abraham. They were looking for the Messiah. They came out of their tombs. So the same quake that scared the crap out of the centurion released, gave, brought life back. It wasn't the rocks themselves that brought life back, but it was an opportunity. It was used. It was a juxtaposition, just like this eclipse, a juxtaposition of the earthquake and the eclipse. I'm not saying there's an earthquake coming for sure on April 8th, 2024, but I'm saying that it's highly likely, I think. So the same thing that scares this guy brings people out. God does that on purpose because he sows little speckles of light in among the nightmares. Your life is full of nightmares, but you got to admit there are little speckles of light sown in every now and then. I mean, God does not leave you totally without it. I was going to tell you a little story, but I don't have time to do it. All right, that's that earthquake. Now, Acts 16. Paul and Silas are in Philippi. They've been beaten with rods unjustly. And they were put in the inner prison. Now, at midnight, I'm in verse 25 of Acts 16. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and sang hymns to God. Now the prisoners listened to them. Now suddenly, a great quake occurred. A great quake. This is not your average quake here. Don't let me hear of any of you calling this a run-of-the-mill earthquake in Acts 16. This is a great quake. Occurred so that the foundations of the prison are shaken. Now instantly, all the doors were open, and the bonds of all were slacked. What does this remind you of? Matthew 27. The bonds of death were slacked. The gates were open. The gates of the prison were open. Back in Matthew 27, the gates of death itself were opened. By the same event that scatters and scares the rest of humanity who don't know God. It was the reposing saints who came from the tomb. It was Paul and Silas. But in this case, this is the evangel of the uncircumcision. The prison opened for everybody. The prison opened for everybody. That's Paul's gospel. That's the difference between the earthquake in Matthew 27, only the reposing saints come forth, and this one, where every prisoner's cell was open, not just Paul and Silas. It's a beautiful illustration of Paul's gospel. All doors were open, and the bonds of all were slacked. Verse 26 of Acts 16. Now the warden, coming out of his sleep and perceiving the doors of the jail open, pulling his sword, was about to dispatch himself, inferring that the prisoners have escaped. This guy pulls his sword, ready to run it through his own heart because he's responsible for him. And, his boss ain't gonna like it. So he's gonna do it before the boss does it, because he'll do it better than the boss. Paul says, hey, don't do it. We're all here. We're not in this to get out. Warden never heard of anything like this. Never heard of anything like this. So the earthquake, the warden perceived the quake as his enemy. Just as the centurion, probably at the Lord's crucifixion, perceived the quake as his enemy. But it becomes his friend. Because the centurion there, he considered it, and he said, truly, this was God's son. I think that bodes well for him at the resurrection. I think he's coming up in the former resurrection as a proselyte, perhaps a proselyte. This was God's son. That's it. That's all you need in the circumcision evangel. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah of Israel. That's all you need in the circumcision evangel. An acknowledgement that Jesus is the Christ. It's God's son. He didn't have all the details lined up. Doesn't have to. Circumcision evangel. Boom. I think the guy is going to be raised. Good thing for that earthquake then, because if it wasn't for all that commotion, he never would have said that. And this earthquake actually in Philippi results in the salvation of the guard and his family, because he takes Paul into his house. Well, here it is, the warden coming out, ready to kill himself. Paul shouts with a loud voice saying, you should commit nothing evil to yourself, for we're all in this place. Now requesting lights, he springs in. Coming to be in a tremor, prostrates, to Paul and Silas. First the earth tremors, then this guy does. And he starts worshiping them, prostrates himself to them, and precedes them out, says, "Masters, what must I be doing to be being saved?" We've mentioned this verse many times. They say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, you shall be being saved." That is, this guy wants, he's going to come into realization of what Jesus Christ had already done for him at the cross. And they speak to him the word of the Lord together with all in his house. Oh man, this is beautiful. Taking them aside in that hour of the night, he bays off their blows, is baptized, he and his family instantly. Sets a table, exalts with them. They have a nice dinner. Even though you just got the crap beaten out of them a few hours before, have a nice meal, get some salve, put on their wounds from those bastards in Philippi who unlawfully accused Paul. There's a dual, the dual thing with the earthquake. Dual thing, right? Seems bad? It's good. I might say the same thing about a woman in labor. I might say the same thing. Think I will too. Think I'll do it right now. Woman in labor seems bad, seems terrible. The worst thing she ever went through. What does it turn into? Turns into good. Yeah. All right, now we're going to the mother of all earthquakes. Now, I don't mean to imply when I showed you the transposition of the eclipse paths and the New Madrid Fault. I don't mean to say that the events of the tribulation will all be attributed to natural causes. Oh, there was a great earthquake in Memphis. By the way, Memphis and St. Louis, you're in trouble if this thing wakes up again, and they say that it will. When this happens, if this is the middle of the last 7 years, and I believe the tribulation begins in 2021. Again, am I 100% right? I might be 100% right. Am I claiming to be 100% right? No. But look, so many signs, you have to throw up your hands at some point and say, okay, God, I get it. I'm not going to be stupid anymore. I'm going to herald this, okay? I'm going to be a Noah. I'm going to put myself out on the limb. Fine, that's okay. Because also counting the years from Adam. Somebody could say, oh yeah, well that fault's been there for a long time. This is just the beginning. 2024 would mark the beginning of the worst of the manifestations. And in the worst of the manifestations, you're not going to be able to say, oh, it's because of a fault, or it's because it's of a bad weather pattern. Oh, it's because of this glacial thing retreating, because of an iceberg. No, it's going to be the hand of God coming directly. You're not going to be able to attribute the 90-pound hailstones to a high-pressure cell over Maine meeting a low-pressure cell coming out of Missouri. Yeah, it's just going to be no explanation except the hand of God. But Revelation chapter 17. Nope, let's go to Revelation chapter 16, verse 17. And the seventh messenger, I don't know the timing of this, okay? I know this is during the last 3.5 years. So this thing with the New Madrid fault zone, this could be a preliminary thing. I told you those two eclipses look like shots across the bow. It's a warning sign of God. And again, I told you, people during the eclipse of August 21st, 2017, they were cheering, they were so happy. Oh, look at the darkness coming on the land, look at the darkness, yay. And they had bands playing, and they were hot dog vendors, cotton candy vendors. It was just like insane, because this is a warning of God that the darkest times that this earth has ever known are coming. That's what it is, the warning of God. People are cheering. You know, when the Titanic hit that iceberg, it threw chunks of ice onto the deck of the Titanic. None of the passengers knew at the time that it was a fatal blow. They couldn't see what was happening down in the first seven sections of the boilers. But they were kids. This is eyewitness account. There were kids playing hockey with little chunks of ice on the deck, kicking chunks of ice around, playing with it. Yeah, not realizing, was realizing that those chunks of ice were the harbinger of death. Everybody was going to die. Not everybody. And the seventh messenger pours out, not everybody, only a third of humanity. Only a third. Only a few hundred million people are going to die during the days of tribulation. Don't worry. And the seventh messenger pours out his bowl on the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of God saying, it has occurred. This is the end of the tribulation. This ain't 2024. This is 2027, early 2028. It has occurred. And lightnings and voices and thunders occurred, and a great earthquake occurred, such as did not occur since humanity came to be on the earth. Of such proportions was the quake, and so great. This is exaggerated language, even for scripture. Even for scripture, this is over the top earthquake. And the great city came to be divided into three parts. I believe this is Jerusalem, divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fall. One of the most understated verses in the entire scripture. Revelation 16, 19, and the cities of the nations fall. That's literal. Do you know what that means? It means every building of every great city in the world is going to fall, and there won't be one stone left upon another. So great is the quake. Well, what is the earth to God? Like a little marble. And all he has to do, watch the camera here. I'm trying to look for something comparable here. What is comparable? I got a little wad of paper here. I got a little receipt here from the grocery store. This is the earth to God, and all he has to do is this. Watch the car cam. Boom. One little thing, and every single building of every single city falls down. Boom. This. Boom. That's all it takes. The earth stays, but everything on it is just knocked down. Knocked down. That's what's going to happen. And that's what these little tremors now, the 7.8s, the 7.9s, the 8.2s, that's what they're a harbinger of. That's what they're portending, is the greatest quake of all quakes that's going to prepare this earth to be to be settled again, resettled by Jesus Christ, by the saints of Israel. This place is going to be a wreck. That's why the former resurrection occurs 75 days after Jesus Christ returns, because this earth's going to look like a war zone. I remember this gas station in Greenwich, Ohio, where I lived. It was always pockmarked, and the cement was always taken up, and I always compared it to an Iraqi war zone. This earth is going to be a war zone. It's going to be littered with rubble of the cities. New York, Los Angeles, London, Chicago, Sao Paulo, Taiwan, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Adelaide, every city. But what did we say? What did I say? What did I say? Oh, the same earthquake that destroys the world is liberation for the people of God. The quaking inside a mother's belly to quake, to contract, to bring forth the child. That's what it does. It contracts and it's painful, but it brings forth. It's good news and bad news. What's the bad news? What's the good news? What do you want first, the bad news or the good news? What do you want first, the bad news? All these stones broke apart. There's a giant earthquake in Jerusalem. Well, what's the good news? Aunt Harriet showed up at the door. Yeah, a bunch of people came back from the dead. Mm-hmm. Giant quake. Destroyed the prison. There's a very nice prison in Philippi. That's the bad news. Ah, what's the good news? Well, the warden was introduced to the evangel of the grace of God and received news of the salvation of Christ and entered into aeonian life. And him and his family. That's the good news. The bad news, again, this earthquake in Revelation 17. I don't want you to be afraid of it. For one thing, we're not going to be on the earth when this happens. We're going to be watching it from heaven. But as a birth pang to a mother, this quake comes as a birth pang to the earth. And it will produce 1,000 years of righteousness.